I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I got a massage. It's only one of two or three I've ever had. And I remember that experience for one thing. The masseuse kept telling me, she said, all right, relax. Relax your leg. And I said, I am. She's like, no. Like, really? You're not.
Right.
And I didn't know how to relax for her. Like, I couldn't do it.
You never had a woman touch you like that? That's why you're kind of tensing up?
I guess maybe that, Rob, that's a great, great point. Or just I'm always walking around,
tense,
tightly wound.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think it was good that I couldn't relax for her.
Maybe you should drink before you go down there next time.
Well, I mean, that's not going to work.
I looked into a massage yesterday, but it was like $340 for an hour, and I said,
yeah, I bet it was.
You pass
I'll
on
go
that.
I'll rub my own feet.
Right.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Another great Rob Ray story, an endearing story about Rob. Aren't they all? That was a long time ago, that conversation, but it's definitely how I am. Like, it's a mindset or something. Like, I'm just guarded and tense all the time.
Yeah.
I think I'm tense all the time.
That's tough, man.
I don't know. I guess so.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is a real conversation, and maybe we've had it, but there are certain traits that I exhibit that I don't mean this in such a literal way, but I blame on the work. I blame on work.
Hmm. Okay.
And like that is maybe one of them that like you just the worst fate I've ever thought I could have in radio is to be boring.
Okay. Sure.
So like, you know, whether it's, you know, snapping at somebody or being tense or something, like just have this sort of manic clock.
So you're sort of always in, so you feel it's hard to turn that off, maybe.
I guess.
In real life.
And I don't think I really grew up like that. I mean, I was not that kid. I was never in trouble. I was never, like, I was never disliked by adults.
Yeah.
You know? I did not have a lot of friends, but I was always popular with the moms.
Yeah.
The moms liked me when I would come over to my friend's house. I was good with the moms.
Neat and polite.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's a big, moms are big on that.
But like here, I mean, this is 20 years now.
Yeah.
Everything is like edgy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be edgy. You got to be interesting. You got to be firing. You can't not be ever. It's just the worst.
Yeah.
It takes this long to turn you off. So like even as I'm talking right now, I'm like braced. Look at my body as I'm talking. It's nothing like you doing that bouncy move like you were riding the horse at the mall.
Right.
The opposite of that. Not bouncy at all. I'm in no way bouncy.
Yeah.
Here's my question.
Okay.
All right, so that's that.
And we've got maybe some closure on the wild crazy mouse conversation too. But what's your question?
Let go. I want to hear that.
Oh, okay. Well, we got I got tweeted at here. There's it's the Monster Mouse coaster. I mean, close enough. It's Wild Mouse, Crazy Mouse, whatever. It sounds like the same gig.
It's the same, only it has saccharin instead of sugar.
Well, is this a coaster or is this the spinny, like?
Well,
it looks like the
mouse, the mouse ride.
Okay.
It's just called Monster Mouse Coaster, but it's mostly looks like sharp turns. There's one big hill and that's it. And that's kind of how I remember the Wild Mouse. Not like a big hill, but like a. Whatever.
It's a hill.
Yeah. Not like the Comet or anything. Anyway, this is available in Montana. And
does Owen have a game there, pretty soon?
We'll see. I mean, this time last year, I'd never heard of the Des Moines Buccaneers, so, you know, we'll see what happens. That was in March last year. Monster Mouse Coaster, zero rust, extra cars. Some of the cars have brand new bodies. Ride located in Montana. $55,000. So, I'm way off. Six figures. I mean,
it's not that way off. You're one figure off.
$200,000 off.
It's
well, I'm only, have, I'm only so negative. $54,000, $700 off.
Again, you're beating yourself up. Yeah. I'm saying that I do that.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
it's less than a Range Rover.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Crazy Mouse costs less than a Range Rover.
Yes. At least this one in Montana.
At least this one.
That's all with shipping?
That's all I've got for
and,
you.
And
right
assembly required or what?
I didn't click. Here, I'm gonna click on it.
There
I was
we go.
Just reading that off
your
of the,
computer
the
will never forget
yeah.
this day. You will be invited to amusement park rides all over the world in case you want it for purposes of buying them. Like you're going to be recruited. There's probably some site where they recruit people to buy amusement park rides.
Oh, I can't.
You could be the next Daniel Snyder.
I can't get any more information. Log in to view details.
No,
description. Like I'm assuming you have to go out there and get it, or pay to have it shipped in parts, like in a shipping container or a train or whatever. Or I guess you could make a bunch of trips in your pickup truck. That would take a long time.
Take the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it take the rest of your life? How many years would it take to drive back and forth to Montana hauling back in a pickup truck pieces of Crazy Mouse? You've been waiting. Listeners, you've been waiting forever to hear someone ask that, and now you've just been paid off. If the roast is half this good, that's amazing.
It would have to be like 200 trips, at least.
How many trips...
Next question. I don't know.
How many years is 200 trips back and forth to Montana?
It's not a real functional plan. There.
You have to quit your job?
Yes. It would be
the only thing you ever do.
The only thing you would ever do would be that.
You'd have an RV. Well, no, you're not. Whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever. We're done with it. There's closure. $55,000 for a wild mouse.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Okay.
For now.
Tell your daughter.
I'm going to pass for now.
Yeah.
Just like I did, at least for the moment, on this trade offer I just got. All right? So here's my question. It's a baseball league. It's one of these Stratomatic leagues. So you're getting, when you have a player, you're getting his last year's performance, but you also get him for future years, right? Follow? So you would want to factor both in. What is the future? In this case, my question for you has nothing really to do with the future because there is no future. So one team I have is drafting now, so there's like a lot of activity, and my team is just okay when it comes to relief pitching. And another team has a lot of it, and they're offering me Felipe Vasquez. Now, I knew that Felipe Vasquez got into some trouble, but I didn't remember exactly what. So I'm going to my baseball prospectus here during the break, and like, what is the deal here with this guy? Like, is he gone forever? Like, what... He didn't get killed. What happened with Felipe Vasquez? Do you happen to know, by the way?
I have no idea.
This is the Pirates closer. So, Baseball Prospectus, my very favorite thing in the world. They have like little briefs on every guy. This guy pitched a lot, but he doesn't even qualify for a brief because of his problem. And he's instead in the lineout section, which he has one line.
The lineout? What is it?
The lineout section is the section at the end of each team's section where it's like all the guys who like are in the minors or they played a little
they're
and there's like a sentence on each guy.
Not worth getting a paragraph on. Okay.
They didn't qualify for the paragraph.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
They just get the line. The line out. So Felipe Vasquez, who pitched 60 innings for the Pirates, I mean, that's a lot. He would easily get a paragraph without this problem. All right, so what have I got here? You know, what is the deal? And here is what it is written. It's highly unlikely Felipe Vasquez will spend time on another professional baseball team. He was arrested and charged with the sexual assault of a 13-year-old. So I've just read that, and it's obviously horrible and gross. And now I'm thinking, do I want to trade for this guy?
For 1 year of this guy.
Yeah. I mean, the 1 year thing, like if he had just been murdered or something... Hey, whatever. I'm playing to win. There's no like shame in that.
Right. Is there shame in putting a player on your roster who you know is accused of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old?
Right. That's the question. Am I a bad person if I trade for him? And the person I'm talking to, who you know, says, of course not. I asked him that.
Yeah.
He said, of course not. He's just, he's car salesmaning me now. Car salesmaning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
I was tense when I said that.
I don't, of course you were. I don't know. No, no. I mean, whatever. You're not.
It's not even like having him already. I'm stuck with him. And I, of course, disapprove of this.
Right, but...
But I'm going after him, going to get him.
You're choosing to acquire yes. him knowing this.
Yes.
So, you know, it's maybe a little bit like Roberto Osuna.
It is like that.
Yeah.
All right.
The fact that it's not real life at all...
you're fine with
for
it.
For you, like, you know, whatever.
I'm uncomfortable yeah. with it. I'm not... I'm hearing you.
Yeah.
And I think Joe said the same. And this person I'm dealing with said the same. But, you know, he's the one trying to get me into the car.
Right, yeah.
I hope there was no car involved in this incident. That would seem like a bad metaphor.
Or a bad
use of the language.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do I even want to ask what you have to give up to acquire the
ball? Yes, another pitcher and a draft pick. Yes, it's not a reasonable ask otherwise.
Okay.
I might do it.
Yeah.
Right. Without this, I'm close to saying yes.
Is this, listen, I just have our partnership in mind as I ask this question. Is this likely to make you tense?
No.
Moving forward, like every time he performs for you, are you going to feel some bit of guilt that you're going to bring in the room every day?
All right. Well, I don't know if I'll bring it in the room, but I will think about that. Sure.
Yeah.
As I'm playing out my games, yeah, right. playing out my season.
Right.
I'm the guy who traded for this person.
Right.
I think that's really what it comes down to.
Right. I'm
asking you if it shouldn't bother me. I'm looking for support that it not bother me, but it might bother me.
No. I think if it might bother you, then maybe you shouldn't.
Don't do it.
You shouldn't do it.
That's right.
You don't need to be more tense.
I don't need
not
this.
Not that this is exactly tense, but, you know, whatever. It's, you know, the littlest things can make you feel lousy. You know,
yep.
So you want to try to avoid those things, I think.
Exactly.
It's how I try to. It's how I try to be.
All right, I'll think about this some more.
Not real great at it all the time, or hardly ever, but I try.
Want a quick trivia question?
Sure.
All right, you guys are competing against each other. First person to guess it, you get one guess. Once you spit out a name, you're done. It is a football question, by the way. We have Mike Kelly coming up. If you are talking a lot and thinking about Jeff Skinner and the Sabres this year and the trade deadline. Perfect guest coming up for you in about 10 minutes. Name the only NFL franchise that has played in every season of the Super Bowl era but has never made a Super Bowl.
The Lions.
Right, that's it.
Wow. First with the wild mouse guess and now this.
Well, my...
He was just right on it with that mouse guess.
I went Price is Right at it. I just went as low
$1.
As possible.
$1.
Yeah.
If you go and take the crazy mouse, you should only have to pay $1 to buy it.
Sure. I'm in then.
I'll take it. Come haul it away. That's really all
it's yours if you can haul it. Yeah.
Just please get it out of here.
It's free. Just you have to take it.
Right.
I thought about the Browns first, but they obviously didn't play every season.
That's right.
Yeah.
Four teams.
The Browns were who I thought at first, too. And then, yeah, right.
Four franchises have played in every season of the Super Bowl era, but have never won it. Detroit being one.
The Bills.
The Bills are two.
The Vikings.
The Vikings, and? It's not Cleveland, because they missed the 90s part of the 90s.
The Falcons.
Correct. You might guess the Bengals there. Somebody would think of the Browns, right? Known for their futility. The answer is Atlanta. Detroit, Atlanta, Buffalo, and Minnesota. The only four teams, all 54 seasons, no Super Bowl wins.
Where did the Bengals...
Yeah, what's with the
Bengals? I think are 52. I think they maybe were 2 years.
Okay. All right.
They were like... AFL expansion right at the end Maybe Miami was the same thing. Miami's won the Super Bowl.
Right. So they missed right the first at the couple end. Of years there.
Yes.
When it was still like the AFL, NFL championship.
Yeah, their first season was 68.
Right. So Super Bowl right. 1 and 2, they were not in the they were not a thing yet.
All right.
The Bengals.
There you go.
So that's it.
All right, good.
Good job with that.
Joe.
No wrong answers.
Yeah. Perfect score.
Perfect score. There were right. no wrong answers.
I do feel good about that. All right.
Good. You do.
Yeah.
No, you're proud.
I mean,
you're a proud part of the team.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I needed something to finish us off here.
Who has the longest drought in the four major sports? Playoff appearance drought.
Mariners.
Seattle Mariners. Who's second?
The Timberwolves. Nope. That's over.
Their streak ended.
Aren't the Lions?
Nope.
The Browns.
No, the Lions were just, yeah.
Stafford's been in.
Yeah.
Last year, two years ago.
Yeah.
The Browns is right.
They lost in Dallas.
The Browns is right. And then who's third?
Sabres.
The Sacramento Kings.
Tied for fourth. Sacramento Kings, longest drought in the NBA, 13. Tied with the Padres.
So it's definitely not the Sabres.
Sabres are at 8, probably going on 9.
Working on 9, yeah.
Arizona is at 7 with a chance to break it.
Right. But that's a schmozzle.
1 is the Mariners, 2 is the Browns, 3 you haven't guessed, 4 is a tie between the Sacramento Kings and the Padres, then the next one is the Buccaneers. 12 years.
Three,
wow.
3 we didn't get yet.
Yep, 16 years. Kind of a joke of a franchise.
The Knicks made it.
Nope, not the mellow. Knicks are at 6. So are the Lakers.
You said joke of a franchise was the first.
Yeah, that's that's fair. The Lakers are at 6 years in a row.
Yep.
Is it an NBA team?
No. And you know it's not hockey. And you know it's not football because I said the Buccaneers.
So it's baseball.
Yep.
The Reds.
No.
It was a joke in baseball. The Astros.
No.
The Angels?
The Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Miami.
No, that was there.
16 years. Miami Marlins.
When were the Angels last in?
Can you it's remember? Not as many. It's like 10 years or less.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking of them like in 04 losing in the divisional round. And like, that's not. They've been in since then.
2014.
Okay. Wow.
Before that, it was 09.
Okay.
2014. Okay. Yeah. I didn't have that. The top four in baseball are Mariners, Marlins, Padres, White Sox. I like the White Sox this year. A lot of people do. Mike Kelly talking hockey after this. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
The guy makes a point. The guy.
Who is that again?
Alex Trebek. Legend. There.
Yep.
I think there's a guy where you can use legend.
Yep, fine.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Mike Kelly, NHL Network, The Point, on Twitter at Mike Kelly NHL. Been a while, Mike. Glad to have you back on.
Hey, guys. Yeah, glad to be back on. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. We've got the deadline to talk about a little bit on Monday, and we've got a Sabre season first that, while isn't exactly good, it's a little better than others have been. I don't know. I'm not setting this up as somebody who's really looking at them too optimistically. But just to get into that conversation, Mike, what about the 2019-2020 Sabres for you? What are they?
Well, you know, they're not good enough to compete in their division if you want to talk about playoffs and any kind of playoff success. excuse me, sorry. Jack Eichel has gotten to a gear that I thought he was certainly capable of and that I wouldn't have been surprised if he had got to maybe a year or two earlier. All of this, and I think he can still go farther. I think we've talked before, and I think the world of Jack Eichel. He's been as good as he's ever been, better than he's ever been. He's shooting, you know, the confidence that he has in his shot and his ability to score with a wrist shot, it's taken another step. So just more dimensions to his game, as good a skater as he's ever been, as effective of a skater. So it's great to see the franchise player continue to go north in terms of his development and what he's going to be capable of. He's a superstar player in the league. Rasmus Dahlin is still a kid and getting better and will be a pillar of that defense for a lot of years. So, you know, the pieces are good. Overall, it's kind of the same stuff. I'm sure you guys talk about it all the time. They don't have the depth of forward to be competitive. I think they're obviously looking to address that. They have bodies defensively in terms of guys you could maybe look to move to try to bring in more forward depth. But it's just the tinkering hasn't worked. Some of the moves haven't worked. You know, Michael Frolik, I don't know what's there, what was expected mm-hmm. of him. But these kind of little things have not worked to create a team that is able to be competitive with other teams in the division that certainly are. And once you get past, I guess it's the big two now with the way Toronto's played this season, it's kind of wide open in terms of the Atlantic Division. So, you know, that's optimistic for Buffalo. The Sabres fans, I say it all the time, I've only been to Buffalo once in my life, and I absolutely love Buffalo Sabres fans, how passionate they are. You know, they watch the games. They want that team to be competitive and to be in the playoffs. And, you know, I think every fan base deserves it. I don't think deserves is the right word, but I'd love for the Sabres, for their fans, to get this team up another notch or two so they can start competing.
Yeah, it's wearing on us. Really, not just us as radio hosts. I think the entire fan base is, you know, we're looking at a ninth year in a row without being in the playoffs in a league where more than half of the teams each year make it. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
We're thinking of moving Buffalo to the Pacific Division just to help a little bit. Right. We tried futilely, Mike, for a long time to get the Bills away from the Patriots. Now we're on to this.
Right.
What? Bills are buzzing a little bit though now. They're getting better.
Yeah, that's going well. Same ownership, and that's going well. On Eichel, what do you think? I mean, I know we've talked about him in the past, and like you were the first guy that to me like really turned me on to like the controlled zone entries and the value of having a player that can do that, and even zone exits too. And Eichel, I think, has always, and I assume it's still the case this year, rated pretty favorably in those areas, if not even elite level within the league. What do you think happens when a player like him goes from a point a game to pacing toward what looks like a 100-point season here? Is it just knowing how to pick your spots better? And does that just come with maturity? Like, what do you think is responsible for the step?
Yeah, there's evolution. I mean, he's still a young player. He's 23 years old. So the experience that he's getting year over year is obviously going to benefit him. 33 goals, he's already set a career high. So, again, we talk about his shot, and you guys have seen his shot this season and how good it is. When you talk about guys that can just, it's not even so much flat-footed, but it's not like he has to be blazing it off the rush or be set up for a lateral pass or a one-time or anything like that. I mean, he can just straight shoot the puck and beat a goalie for below the circle. So that's an evolution, and I think I don't even know if it's a confidence thing. I just think that he's a playmaking, pass-first type of guy who maybe sees, you know, holy crap, I can really whip the puck past goalies and score goals and be effective with my shot, which is getting better. So that's just another evolution in a guy with an already loaded toolbox. And then, the transition game from almost the moment he got in the league has been elite. exiting the zone, entering the zone. There's one guy in the league, I mean, he's right at the top of the league. If you connect the two end-to-end, being able to skate the puck out of your defensive zone into the offensive zone. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky had an interesting quote on this in a podcast he did that caught my attention, where he said, you know, he thinks it's really an art to be able to do that in the game of hockey. It's a difficult thing to do, to transition the puck all the way through the neutral zone. And Eichel's one of the best. He's right at the top of the league with Matt Barzal, who's just ahead of him, Nathan MacKinnon, who's just behind him, and then Patrick Kane and Connor McDavid, who are just behind him.
Good names.
All elite hockey players. Great names, exactly. Yeah. So that's a real strength in his game. And what I love about Eichel when you watch him is it's not the flat line speed necessarily of a Barzal or the bull in a china shop kind of speed and power of a MacKinnon. It's Eichel. It's not even the stride. It's just he can kind of glide on his edges but protect the puck so well. And you see him do it in the offensive zone too. One of the best at it, in my opinion. So that's just getting better. It's all with him just bumping up a little more and a little more, and he still hasn't hit the ceiling yet. So, you know, again, he's a superstar player in the NHL, one of the best.
Take a time out here, get you more with Mike Kelly on the state of the Sabres approaching Monday's NHL trade deadline. Right after this on WGR.
Mike Kelly with us. NHL Network, The Point. Mike, Jeff Skinner has not scored in more than 2 months off a year where he scored 40. And I would say, being here, that no player or topic is above that right now, as another Sabre season seems to just go by without success. What for you explains that? Obviously, he's not playing with Eichel, and the coach seems staunchly about that. He's on the station every week. He was on today, and again defended his decision to do that, you know, in so many words. So what about Skinner, and what can you inform us from an analytics standpoint about the benefits of one versus the other, like loading up one line versus spreading it out, that sort of thing?
Well, I think there's a bit of an interesting case study, and it's not apples to apples, because we're talking about Skinner, who's a winger, and then Eichel, who's a center. But if you look at Edmonton, and they played Connor McDavid with Draisaitl together for a long time, and they've split them up from a good chunk of this season. And part of the reason why it's been able to work, and they're a competitive team, is that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been a great fit, obviously, with Draisaitl on the wing, and he's a really smart player and a good player. But Kyler Yamamoto has come in and really helped that top six by playing really well. And so you're able to do that now. And obviously, when you load up a line, those two guys that I mentioned, Leon and Connor, as an example, they're going to be dynamic and dominant. And we saw that last year with Skinner and with Eichel when they were together. Skinner scored a whole bunch of goals, Eichel doing his thing, and it all looks good and works. But boy, was there ever a lack of depth. And about halfway through the season, that's something that really stood out to me, is, you know, those two guys were going, and it was nothing else. Mm-hmm. So I understand the perspective where you say, for us to have team success, we have to split these guys up. We have to have Skinner producing on a line apart from Eichel, and we have to have Eichel doing his thing. The problem is that Skinner, great goal scorer, he's not a driver in the way that a Jack, well, not many are in the way that Jack Eichel is, but even, you know, go down the road a little bit to Mitch Marner, for instance. He's a driver in terms of being a winger who can move the puck at an elite level and create offense for his line mates. Now, these are very different players, but I think the point that I'm trying to make is that Skinner is a finisher. He's not an elite transition player moving the puck, setting teammates up. And you've got him, when you talk about depth, and he's playing with Erod and Sherry, or mm-hmm. whether it's with Johansson and Frolik, which he's done a bit recently, whatever. I mean, I like Marcus Johansson a lot. And I think he is a bit of a driver in terms of being able to transition and create. But Frolik and Sherry and Rodriguez, I mean, who's setting Skinner up here? Who's the guy that's helping him out in a top six role? So that's where the depth becomes a problem. And I think you have to find a way to Eichel's going to do his thing virtually regardless of who he plays with. Superstar. Jeff Skinner is a tremendous player. He's a goal scorer. He's a finisher. He's been a goal scorer his whole career. but I think you have to give them a little bit more help. And obviously not being on the first power play unit now, and he doesn't have a power play goal this year, does he?
That's right.
No, he's got 11 even strength goals.
So you know, look, Skinner can be better. Under no circumstances should he be going 2 months without scoring a goal. But I think you have to help him, and you have to bring in somebody in a top six role who can help him.
Yeah, he did miss a chunk of time there within that 2 months.
Right.
He was injured for 5 weeks or so. So it's happened the entire time, but still, he's got 11 goals and 20 points on the season. So it's a very tough, it's a tough look. And you're not even seeing, you mentioned power play. He doesn't play in overtime either. And mm-hmm. So there's some real curious choices being made
six
there.
On four.
Right. 6-on-4.
Yep.
Can I just throw in a quick question about Sam Reinhardt here? I've even seen some numbers that make you perhaps ponder that the possibility, as I'm sort of tiptoeing here, that Reinhardt could be really valuable to Eichel, that on some level Eichel needs or benefits greatly from having Reinhardt, who I've always, I've always been on Team Reinhardt because so many of the smart numbers seem to favor him. What would you do there?
They work well together. I don't know that I'd be ready to say that Reinhardt is really driving a lot of Jack's success this season. They obviously play well together. But if anybody's if you're going to ask me if one guy is benefiting from the other, who is it? I think it's a pretty obvious answer.
Mm-hmm.
But good fit together. I like Sam Reinhardt a lot as a player.
And he's coming up on restricted free agency right after the season. Well, we've had this, when we've had conversations, Mike, we've talked a lot about Ristolainen and the blue line, and here are the Sabres who, as you said, I mean, there are bodies, but they still don't seem to have that figured out at all. What maybe is something you'd expect at the deadline here? Like, they're continue. It's another round. I'm rolling my eyes even as I ask you, because it's another round of the insiders talking about, well, they would trade Ristolainen, but I mean, there's Montour, and you were pro Montour, if I remember correctly. We talked to you about him being acquired. What's an idea here for the Sabres on Monday?
Well, yeah, Ristolainen's the guy that everybody brings up all the time, and it's pretty interesting with him, isn't it? Because you hear, well, Buffalo is asking pretty high price for him, maybe too high, to move him. And then you hear something like what Brian Burke said on a broadcast last night, that when he was in Calgary, the analytics guys there told him, don't touch this guy. So there's a real divide, I think, in terms of even people in hockey of what they think about him. And it is tough in a sense, because you've got a guy who's really known nothing other than playing on teams that haven't been that great. So what is he? How much of a byproduct of his environment is he? What could he do in a situation where maybe he didn't have to eat as many minutes and play against the competition that he plays against? I think I've talked to you guys about Ristolainen before. My thoughts on him, which is that, you know, there's a lot of things that I like about him. You look at guys even this year, I mean, you hear with him turnovers, lots of turnovers. He's not a guy that turns the puck over at a high rate, especially compared to defensemen that play the kind of minutes that he does. Kind of middle of the pack in that area. And, you know, I mean, man, if he played against the Toronto Maple Leafs 82 games a year, he'd be an all-star the way he's playing that team. So, I think the kind of obvious one outside the market anyways looking in is, well, would you want to move a guy like him to maybe get a top six forward? And Vincent Trocheck's a name that's been thrown around a little bit. Well, you can understand maybe where a team that hasn't been a forward depth that needs a guy who they think can play 20 minutes and be effective for them on the blue line. Now that could make some sense, but now you're Buffalo and you got to fill those minutes. And like you just said, you know, there's bodies there, but you kind of don't really know what you have until it's gone, right? So I don't know what fans in Buffalo, what the overall sentiment on Rasmus Ristolainen is, but when he's not there, who's taking up those minutes if you're using him as a chip to bring in a top six forward potentially? That's That's an interesting one.
He definitely has his fans here.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, no, I mean, I consider myself more impressed with the numbers maybe than the average fan, and I've been talking about trading him for 3 years. And for a while there, maybe for 2 years, there was always pushback. Now I think everybody's exhausted. And it's not necessarily right. because of him, but it's just about everything. And so, I don't know, like Bulldog here got to a point where, like, you know, we got to do something.
Right.
And so, like, here's a guy with term and some talent, and so maybe, but obviously it still hasn't happened. And we both, I think, find that incredible.
Yeah.
That
I've always liked him more than Mike does for the obvious attributes. But, yeah, I get to how am I going to get a top six forward? That's what I need more. I've got a ton of right shot defensemen both here and in Rochester. Yeah. And, like, no, I don't know if they can all play 22 minutes a night or not. But, man, I'd be willing to find out because I think the forward depth is what hurts this team more than anything. So he's just been the most logical piece to me to land on. But then you start hearing, like, you're referencing this Brian Burke comment, and, like, I don't know, can I not get what I think I could have gotten 2 years ago for this guy anymore? And now I feel just kind of stuck.
Yeah, and obviously the people on the inside kind of know what the market would bear for him in a trade potentially better than we do. The interesting thing, and I'm not saying I disagree with Brian Burke or the people on his staff who came to that conclusion, but analytics, they're kind of counting numbers that are just, they are what they are, but then there's also the interpretation of information and how you interpret it, how you weigh things, how you value certain things, where two people could look at the same information and have different opinions based on, you know, what they value and what their beliefs are. So I've never been one to say that analytics suggest that Ristolainen is a disaster. I don't agree with that. But again, it's not that simple, I don't think, either. So, look, all we know is what he's done in Buffalo, right? And it is hard to try to gauge what a player who has been in an unfavorable situation can potentially be. It's impossible to know for sure on a different team with a bit of a different role. So all I know is if they trade Ristolainen for a top six forward and there's not a defenseman coming back, yeah, you're going to suffer a little bit on the blue line. It's just, I agree with you, though. I think Buffalo's biggest issue is scoring depth up front. That, to me, is number one. So if you think that moving Ristolainen helps you address that best and you can make up for it in other ways there, so be it. If you think that free agency is a better avenue or a different type of deal is a better avenue, whatever it is, there's no question in my mind that addressing the depth scoring issue with the Sabres is number one, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times when certain ideas seemed close, maybe Winnipeg in the offseason. Last year, there were Tampa rumors, and I'm like, you know, Tampa did go get Dan Girardi. I wouldn't want to rule anything out here analytics-wise as far as this player goes, but we're still talking here after all this time. Maybe a quick thought on the Leafs here, Mike, before we go. We got about a minute here. The one way to look at the Sabres season is there's a missed opportunity here as Toronto was the cup favorite before the season, and they're only a few points ahead of the Sabres and struggling. The goalies are struggling, or at least one is. What kind of odds would you put on them getting in?
Better than 50%, just because Florida's their only real competition. Take nothing away from Florida, but they're as bad, if not worse, defensively. Toronto was not my cup favorite at the start of the season. I remember being at the NHL Network and saying, I think this team's actually taken a step back. That trading Nazem Kadri presented a challenge for an already defensively challenged team. What you have with the Maple Leafs right now, it's just the game against Pittsburgh, the game against Buffalo even, it's a lack of effort and attention to detail. And the disturbing thing about that is that you're at this point in the season, 60-ish games, and those are still problems. The good thing about that is that they can be corrected. So I think the Leafs are a flawed team. I think that they overvalue the puck possession type of game that they want to play, and you cannot have the puck enough to be as deficient defensively as they are. And the goaltending's been, Freddie Anderson since the start of the new year has been, on the near the bottom of the league in terms of goaltending performance. So that doesn't help. When Anderson's at his best, it covers up a little bit of the problems that Toronto has defensively, and they're a great offensive team. When Anderson's okay, you see it game to game. Sometimes he can win, sometimes he can't. When Anderson's like this, it's really hard to win.
Yeah.
So I think they're a flawed team in terms of being competitive for a Stanley Cup for sure. But they're not at the level they're at now. They will play better down the stretch, and I think they'll get into the playoffs. I just don't think they give a Boston or a Tampa Bay any real kind of matchup problem.
Do we know a time? I don't happen to know one. I don't know if you do, Mike, or even you, Mike. But on Riley, like when's he supposed to be back?
Weeks.
Still weeks?
Yeah, I think you kind of hear late March, before the playoffs, but towards the end of the regular season.
Right. Well, that's tough.
Man, the start of the year, I thought he was so good. And then he's been battling stuff, I think, basically all year. And the play kind of dropped off because of it as a result. But he is such an important piece, no question.
Mike, thanks a lot. Always good information and conversation. You can play 20 minutes for us anytime you want.
Just did.
You have never seen me play hockey. glad to be on the radio with you guys anyways, for sure.
Yes, very good. Thanks again, Mike.
Okay, take care, guys.
All right, that's a wrap for us. Our thanks to Mike Kelly. Stay tuned. Sneaky Joe DiBiase is straight ahead with 2 hours of the Nightcap right here on WGR. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.